Sirs and Cordae, lift up your hearts. We believe in God, the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again, ascended to sit at the right hand of God, the Father, for almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, receiving as we do this day the means of grace. Just 4 days ago, Karen Daly spoke at the Sargent College lecture. The spring lecture is given over every year to the psychosocial dimensions of healing. While it's not theological, it is preeminently theological, this annual lecture. Though not religious, it is thoroughly religious. Not particularly spiritual, it is embedded with a sense of spirituality. The Latin word salvus means health, the root of the word salvation for us. Karen Daly is a courageous nurse here in Boston who 20 years ago, by accident in an emergency room, through the pricking of a needle, contracted hepatitis C and AIDS, and has spent the last 20 years successfully battling both of those diseases and changing policy and procedure in State House and in the halls of Congress. She told her story. St. Augustine said for the emerging preachers that when your text is a hymn, when your text is a psalm, you should sing a hymn. When your text is a proverb, you should use an epigram. When your text is an argument, you should make yourself an argument. And when it's a narrative, you should tell a story or two. So Luke 24 and the narrative of the Emmaus Road, and so Karen Daly. She spoke of the weeks following her recognition of illness and how she was in a stupor, a doldrum, until her new doctor found her, though she was thousands of miles away visiting her sister, and called her and said to her across the phone, "Here is who I am, this is my name, and let me say one thing to you. You're going to be fine." A ringing voice. She said, "I began to feel human again." Weeks later, as they worked in labor and therapy, she confessed her anxiety and her worry. At the end of the session, he said to her, "Take this card, on it is my home phone number. You're welcome to be anxious, but not alone. You're welcome to worry, but not alone. You're welcome to pace at night at 3 a.m., but not alone. You call me." Not just the ringing of a voice, but the offer of a presence. Voice, presence. Preaching, communion. Means of grace. St. Luke in the 24th chapter summarizes the resurrection to preaching and communion, pulpit and table. The narrative is a reconstitution, a rehearsal of what we do every Sunday at Marsh Chapel. It is voice and presence. It is the possibility of preaching and the availability of sacrament. They knew him in the breaking of bread. Did our hearts not burn within us as he opened to us the scripture? This morning, we read the gospel. This morning, we engage together dialogically in its interpretation. This morning, we follow with the nourishment of a common table and a common meal. St. Luke summarizes Easter. The difference heaven makes, the difference Easter makes, the difference resurrection makes, as the possibility of preaching and the availability of the sacrament to be and speak a saving, salvus, intervening word in life, in your life, in our shared life. An Anglican cleric was interviewed some years ago about the demise in numbers and buildings of his denomination, and the journalist asked to conclude, "What shall you do when all the buildings are closed and almost all your members are gone?" And he replied, "Well, I think we'll find a Bible and a table and a chalice and a plate and some bread and some wine, and we'll start all over again." The difference Easter makes is the possibility of preaching and the availability of the sacrament. And that's excellent news for you, particularly if rightly you are wondering a little bit. You are skeptical, you're thoughtful. There's sometimes more capacity for faith and real honest doubt than in anything else. Perhaps you are like Flannery O'Connor, who wanted to be intelligently holy, or like Paul Thoreau, who gave his future writers the advice to leave home, go alone, stay on the ground, and write with the heart. Or like Dag Hammarskjöld, who at midlife realized his view of God had been too small, and so he said, God does not die on the day that we cease to believe in a personal deity, but we die on the day that our lives cease to be illumined by a radiance renewed daily of a wonder whose source lies beyond all reason. Or St. Chrysostom, who added a little bit to Luke 24, not just scripture and not just sacrament, but the poor. Said he long before the popularity of the phrase, the preferential option for the poor, named the ministry, we'll say the itinerant ministry, traveling, as mendicant, where to some degree you place yourself in ministry at the disposal of others and are at the mercy of giving or lack of giving, not so much maybe of food and shelter today, but certainly of hospitality, friendship, relationship, all, since said Chrysostom, scripture and sacrament, and remember the poor, like Paul in Galatians. This is excellent news for you. If you are slightly uncomfortable with religious clothing and religious language, how we love our radio congregation at Marsh Chapel. These are the best of women and men who, in many cases, often for good reason, have some slight question about actually taking a seat in the pew. Not quite comfortable with religious language or custom, but are willing, as you are now across the six states of New England and beyond, to listen for a ringing word and to accept the offer of a presence to, as St. Luke summarized resurrection, to preaching and communion. My two friends, Jim and Bill, couldn't have been more different. One came from the wilderness of Minnesota, Jim, a corporate leader, a great bear, magnanimous, loving person. Bill, who worked in the wilderness of mental health as a psychiatrist. Jim was of the silent generation, and silent he was. Bill was all boomer. Long hair, mud room, hockey stick, skates, baseball, football, all. Neither of them felt particularly comfortable in religious clothing, though they came and they worshiped and they gave and they served. In both cases, though they were separated by one decade of pastoral ministry and 100 miles of distance, they shared a regard for what, in both cases, the church could and did do for their children. When 2 years ago in the same week, news came from separate letters of their death in their 60s, one recognized that the church's ministry was concluded with them. But they had filled and fulfilled a life in the receipt of voice and presence, the difference that Easter makes. For Jim, the church was central. For Bill, the church was peripheral, but for both, the church was meaningful. Your role at Marsh Chapel Sunday by Sunday is to ring the bell, to sing the song, and to tell the tale, to identify and bear witness to the difference that Easter makes, that resurrection makes. So good if you are seniors in our midst, concluding your time here at Boston University. Over luncheon, we will honor you. We have some who are celebrating 40th anniversaries and others who are celebrating birthdays. And you all are completing 4 years of study. We lift in prayer, a prayer of grace and peace with you, all of the experience of the last 4 years. Your learning, your labor, your losses, your loves. We lift them in a spirit of grace and peace. We lift your life, not just the life you're currently living, but the lives that will emerge out of that very life. What did the bard say? All the world is a stage, and the men and women merely players. And in a lifetime, one takes many parts. He names seven: infant, schoolchild, lover, soldier, judge, retiree, convalescent. We lift with you your current life and the lives that will emerge from it in a spirit of grace and peace. We lift with you a prayer for our world, this world, not only the hopes and the desires, challenges of this world, but the hurts of this world, those who today across the globe lack what we take for granted: raiment, food, shelter, freedom. And we identify, no, we reconsider ourselves with you as those who live not only in the world, but also for the world, who are not only in the world, but also for the world, who work not only in the world, but also for the world, and we lift that in a spirit of grace and peace. These graduates have come out of an institution founded by Methodism. 128 schools and colleges across the country have been so founded. Boston University, as predecessor institution in 1839, was given life by the movement started by John Wesley. John Wesley wrote a morning prayer, which we'll share in a moment. Listen to its words. The meaning and the spirit of that movement are epitomized in this prayer. The words are simple. That is significant. The language is universal. That is significant. The tone is thankful. That is significant. The phrasing is memorable. That is significant. All of which makes that for us a beautiful prayer to share in call and response. Now, your voice in the sermon is about to emerge. I'm going to line this out. You don't have to sing. You just have to say. We'll do it in old Methodist fashion. I'll give you a line and you repeat. Ready? Gracious giver of all good, thee we thank for rest and food. Grant that all we do or say in thy service be this day. And Wesley would add, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, by all the means you can, to all the people you can, to all the people as ever you can, do all the good you can. We began with an ancient creed. We'll conclude this morning with a modern one. We believe in God who has created and is created, who has come in the true person Jesus to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, the body of Christ, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice, resist evil, proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And in the gospel according to St. Luke, in the 24th chapter, the difference heaven, resurrection, Easter makes are summarized in preaching and communion. The possibility of a saving, intervening word and the availability of a nourishing, healing meal and fellowship. Sursum corda, lift up your hearts. Amen.